Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings, happy Friday. Welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Today's Friday.
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone for the next few minutes? Look at pictures of food your friends ate? Again, call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, happy beginning of All-Star Weekend in the NBA.
Woo-hoo!
We got a big, fun night. We got a great story we're going to kick things off with in a second. But, you know, before we get to something great, I want to, you know, we got to kind of balance that a little bit. I have gone from last night, Mike. I was optimistically excited about coming to America. And now I'm just flat out nervous. Now, after
what did I tell you?
After seeing the full reviews that have come in today, I mean, because last night it was kind of mixed. I was like, okay. Then you burst my balloon by saying my timeline. Everybody says it sucks. I was like, all right. And then I was looking at the reviews today and more, and I'm like, oh,
horrible,
oh no.
horrible, really bad.
Oh no. No. So now I'm just nervous. Now I'm going to have to bask in the afterglow of the WandaVision finale, which was terrific. And now I'm going to I feel like I have to watch Coming to America.
I tell you what,
I can't not see it. I got to watch.
Like, even while we were on air yesterday, I started seeing, because it released early, just like WandaVision did.
Mm-hmm.
WandaVision was up a few minutes earlier than midnight. So Maddie and I were playing an online game of pool. And I go, hey, wait a minute. It says play. She goes, wait, what? And so we kept playing pool while we watched the opening. She kicked my ass. But
I thought you were going to say we're playing online poker and Maddie's up with a big stack.
Not
and then
yet.
Finally...
No. I'm going to teach her that the next break.
Okay.
But
oh, good.
We've got a couple
of
days to really work on it. There's no question. But, you know, I just started seeing friends whose opinions I trust and people in our larger media sphere that were just saying, I need mouthwash.
Oh,
hashtag coming to America.
Oh, that was, it was very disappointing. That was
hashtag CTA. And I'm like, what the hell's the Chicago Transit Authority got to do with me? I mean, I know things have been a bit rough in Chicago and the weather was miserable and they're kind of mirroring a lot of what's going on here in terms of how open and available things are. But
the Chicago Transit Authority.
Well, which is the original name of Chicago, too. So if we want to get into a little bit of great music with horns, we can talk about Chicago as well.
Yeah, I mean, way before, no doubt. I mean, they were like way before that. Yeah, no, it made me I went from being that way to now I feel like I got to watch it just because I got to watch it. Right, that's kind of where I'm at. Well, you know, now I kind of have to see it. I can't not see it. And now I'm just hoping that I'm hoping that it's not just the one scene in the trailer with them in the barbershop that they show, because that scene is hilarious in the trailer. And now I'm thinking, is that like the only funny part of the movie? Is that going to be the only funny part? Because if that's the only funny part, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, that would
really
be bad.
Disappointed.
Yeah, no, nobody. There wasn't a lot of specifics because people didn't want to do the spoiler thing. And we're trying to avoid potentially ruining it, but just kind of saying, all right, if you want the nostalgia of it, you know, you'll appreciate that all the characters are back.
Mm. Yeah. Just enjoy that they're all here, okay? Just let's not think that whether it's funny or not. Let's just enjoy, oh, look, like you get to see old friends.
The only story I saw the headline that I had to click on was the sad reason Louis Anderson was in the first Coming to America. I'm like,
oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was big clickbait earlier this
and
week.
And then I clicked it and went, spoiler alert, it ain't good.
I'm just hoping, like, really, like, my hope is that, okay, the McDowell stuff is really funny. Like, I can't wait to see what the new menu items are going to be on McDowell's, you know, 30 years later. You know, McDonald's has the Shamrock Shake. We have the Shamrock Steak Sandwich. Our meat is green. The it's green meat that we give to everybody, and they eat it. And they're looking for that color. Like, I really, I'm hoping that the new menu items are going to be really funny. But I don't, like I said, I'm just crossing my fingers now and going, yeah, okay. I know we're gonna, now we're just gonna kind of piecemeal it and watch it from beginning to end.
Bit by bit. Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It'll be okay. It, at worst, it's 2 hours of your life. And you can
true.
Say that
yeah,
you gave it
that
a chance.
That is true. Yeah.
And you celebrated Arsenio Hall.
You know, I interviewed him once on the red carpet at the ESPYs. And, like, why was Arsenio Hall at the ESPYs? I'm like, Arsenio Hall. Because, you know, the red carpet goes, this is probably about 10 years ago. And, you know, and Arsenio Hall wasn't doing anything. And the red carpet just, you know, people walk on the red carpet. It's all athletes and stars. And there's Arsenio Hall. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, is anybody talking Arsenio Hall? I grew up watching Arsenio Hall. I'm going to call him over. I said, Arsenio, come on over. He walks right over. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm Jason Smith, ESPN Radio. We're on, you know, for yeah. What do you want to talk about, man? What are you talking about? I'm here. I go, hey, why are you here? He goes, I don't know. I just felt like coming. I said, really? He goes, yeah.
Yes.
I knew it was happening. I just felt like coming down. And so I talked to him for like 10 minutes. Usually interviews on the red carpet, the ESPYs are like 90 seconds, right?
Because everybody's
minutes, going
yeah.
right on. Yeah, you don't have a lot of time, right? And it's just, okay, here it is, and it's great. He's there for like 10 minutes, and I'm talking to him. And I'm watching like other stars just walking right by me, and I'm sitting there going, I'm having fun, but, you know, there goes Vince Young, not going to get Vince Young. Okay, there goes Chris Johnson, not going to get Chris Johnson. There are all these people walking by. Okay. But, yeah, hey. I talked to Arsenio Hall for like 10 minutes, and you were just talking about his career, about life and sports. I'm like, this is awesome. So he just decided, yeah, I decided to come down. I'm just going to walk the red carpet. And that's it. Just walk the red carpet from beginning to end.
I tell you what, I did that Arsenio. Once. It was like 105 degrees. I came out tremendously sunburned, and the story that ended up being the big thing of that day, there were a couple near fights, but that was after Amari Stoudemire had signed his massive deal.
Oh, yeah.
So as he's walking
yeah.
up, I started doing like a WWE-like intro, and he walked past like 10 people and came straight to me.
Oh, nice.
Dressed like $1 million, or $100 million in that moment. It was like, he's like, my man. I'm like, hey, you won today, man.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today. For a quote. Now, meanwhile, look, it's Friday night, and we always we love positivity every night. And if the nervousness of coming to America, okay, I get it. But if you want a really good story, and this is one of those really good stories, if you remember, we told you about a month ago, as things started to turn with COVID-wise here in the country, with the vaccine rollout happening and cases decreasing and people were still practicing good behavior, you know, still wearing masks and everything else. And I know now that, you know, it's starting to lose its way a little bit throughout the country. Hopefully, you know, I got fingers crossed that it keeps getting better. But COVID has been getting better. And now the country is really opening up. And I don't want to sit back and say, where was this 6 months ago? Let's just celebrate we're here right now. And we told you that the real official beginning, when we're going to feel like things are back to normal or they're almost back to normal, is going to be the beginning of baseball season, right? Whenever something big happens in this country, sports is always at the forefront of it. This is why sports and politics and sports and pop culture and sports and anything else that goes on, why it's hand in hand, because usually it is sports that leads a discussion or sports leads away in their actions. And everybody looks to sports to saying, hey, all right, tell us everything is okay, or tell us what we need to do now, right? You think all the leaders we have in this country, and they all look around and go, what's the NBA going to do here? What's the NFL going to do here? Hey, what's Major League Baseball going to do here? Let's take a look and see. And we get it that way. And sometimes it's rough. The NBA led the way last year. I remember the closing down of COVID. Once Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19, that was it, right? The NBA shut down. Within a couple of days, everything else shut down. We're coming up on the year anniversary of that happening in a few days. But baseball is going to lead us out of it. And with open air stadiums and baseball being a sport that clearly is one of those sports that is very conducive to playing in the shadow of COVID-19, we get this news today that California
is lifting COVID restrictions on outdoor sports and entertainment venues, clearing the way for fans to attend games on opening day and theme parks like Disneyland to reopen for the first time in more than a year. This is not something I expected to see right now, but here we are right now. You can go to games and Disneyland's going to reopen. Now, does this mean you're going to get to go to Disneyland? No, but this is more a symbol of, hey, now I get it. Now I get that we're doing better. Now we're making big decisions that are positive, that where people are allowed to go to games. Look, MLS is going to start soon. People are going to go to MLS games. But can you imagine what it's going to be like, the excitement for opening day, where California, we have been one of the most conservative states for COVID-19, and we still had the huge, we were the epicenter of it for about a month or so. But California is one of the most conservative states. And here they are with, hey, we're going to allow people to go to games. We're going to reopen theme parks. It's happening. And we still have to be doing a good job, right? We still can't just think, okay, it's done. But now you're seeing that, hey, it's not only light at the end of the tunnel, we're getting to the end of the tunnel. And the beginning of the baseball season, trust me, when we get to that first week of April, coming up in about 2.5 weeks, and so we're going to, with more vaccines that keep coming out, and we're hearing that maybe everybody can get vaccinated by the beginning of the summer, which would be incredible. That's when it's really going to feel like, hey, we're out of this. It's going to be about a year because, from March 13th, I think, was our last day of school, I think, before they shut things down. So in the end, it's going to be about a year. But boy, at the year mark here, we're really going to feel like we are over the other side of the mountain on it. And we are coming downhill and we are gathering speed. And by the time we get later into spring, into the summer, we're going to be back to life kind of like we knew it before, which is going to be something. And trust me, that first week, the visuals of Major League Baseball, what people are going to get to see, the celebrations of people in line at the ballpark, even though they're going to be social distance and sitting apart from each other, seeing that and feeling like, okay, here's baseball starting. It's a rite of spring. It's something, hope springs eternal in baseball, and the beginning of the season always signals something new. It's a new year for everybody, right? Everybody goes back to 0-0 and hope starts anew, whether it's for baseball or for an allegory in life. And the beginning of baseball season is going to do that, and especially now you're seeing this in California, we're almost there.
I almost heard James Earl Jones' voice in my head as you started to speak. Purple tier outdoor sports limited to 100 people. Limits increased to 20% capacity in the red tier, 33% orange tier, 67% in the yellow tier. Obviously, nationwide, you've heard a lot of collegiate entities coming forward saying we're going to have 100%. In these seats. The city of Atlanta saying we're going to have 100% by baseball's All-Star game. All of those things, big benchmarks. Here in California, you mentioned the politics. I'd be remiss if I didn't remind folks nationwide that there is a recall effort on the governor. So getting things open helps his case. Just to kind of throw a one-liner out there, obviously a lot of positivity, the vaccines and numbers and everything that you do. But sometimes you need that little extra jolt to keep pushing things and reevaluating and getting a better understanding, handle, and movement on these type of things. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be off the first, not because I am an April Fool, but I'm going to go try to be one of those people in the ballpark.
Nice.
The Angels White Sox, baby.
Nice. Dude, Angels, White Sox, are you kidding? You're getting in.
To get things started.
Well, the Angels are going to say, it's a normal time for us. These are normal ticket sales. Oh, sorry, too soon?
Hey, you can do that. But those are the meaningful at-bats that Trout and Pujols will have this season. So, it might have some extra demand as we go. One of the things that is going to be kind of interesting to watch, and the wording has been nebulous at this point, of in-state visitors is a term being used. So the question of, hey, you're going to open up the ballpark, and this is particular to me as I have family all back in Chicago, saying, oh, it'd be nice to go to California. Come see the White Sox and cheer them on. But whether you're going to have to show ID and proof of residence or something, there may still be some data to flow from there. But the larger point is, yes, there's a step forward. There's positivity, and we can do all those hope springs eternal, and even the Mets have a chance right now. And all the
stop. We're going to the NLCS. We're going to play the Dodgers. It's happening. All right, okay. I told you it's going to happen.
And Taylor's going to hit another grand slam, and and send Twitter into a whole other world. But the idea just being that you can put something on a map, right? One of the big important things they talk about psychologically when you're at work, because let's face it, a lot of folks don't have the luxury of their work day being one of the highlights of their day. We get to come in, yell at each other, try to inform, entertain. Like, that doesn't mean there aren't hard days where you got stories that are just like, man, this is difficult, you know, real life stuff to talk about. But we like our jobs. A lot of folks don't. So what do they say to do? Always have something on the calendar, right? Always have an event, always have a vacation, always have some goal. And now when you start moving the lines and you start actually getting some concrete plans of, all right, on this date, you should be able to do it. And maybe you are one of the 20% or whatever that gets to go to Disneyland as they open. I mean, all of those big things, those are big momentous occasions. We've got schools reopening here. I know my next door neighbor breathed a big sigh of relief because two of the older kids went back to school. As of today, so I was like, hey, my house was kind of quiet in the morning. I go, just think all next week you're going to have that quiet. So, you know, there's little milestones, but always, you know, look at the calendar. Try to put something out there for yourself and find that ray of sunshine. Find those wins, people. They're coming.
Twitter at how about a fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. We are close. It is a big day today, but keep being smart, right? Keep being smart. Let's keep doing it right. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. With their free same-day store pickup, you can order online, pick it up today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Now, some jobs can't wait. Well, that's why AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. It's whether you have a job that can wait or not, they got you covered. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, so visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Well, coming up next, the reason that Russell Wilson is going to get traded that no one's really mentioned. And after the news of the last 24 hours, if you need any more evidence than what we're going to say next, well, I can't do much more to help you with, but it's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Joining us now on the hotline, he is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com, longtime NFL insider, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, and author of the new book, Joe Douglas, A Relentless Life in Pursuit of Zach Wilson. It is Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening, man?
Go Aztecs, dude. All right. Life is beautiful. Just exceedingly beautiful.
You are full of positivity on this Friday as well, my friend.
Very nice. I am. Well, it's a Friday night. Why wouldn't you be positive?
Well, yeah.
Sure.
It's an up with people kind of moment.
Yes, you get to talk with us. You're going to make some fun jokes. You're going to have the best 15 minutes of your week now with us.
That's quite entirely possible, although it would be a lot better if Arrington were here.
Wow. Wait. I said Amir instead of Harmon.
Wow.
He usually works with Harmon. Just saying.
Okay. Listen.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You crack yourself up, don't you? Yeah, here. You're hilarious, aren't you?
You all walked right into it, pal.
You know, listen, you're just fine. So you know, every time we have you on, it's because Jay Glazer doesn't pick up his phone. All right, just so you know.
Yeah,
okay, let's go.
And let's just say this. based on what I know, Jay's not picking up the phone very often these days. So, yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, he's on his big vacation right now. He told us that the other week. Hey, listen, let's start here, yeah. Since I mentioned Zach Wilson. He's getting all kinds of love right now. And, it's close between him and Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, clearly, look, the Jaguars are going with Lawrence at number one. But is Zach Wilson really that good? I mean, I know he's good. I've seen him play. But is he suddenly that good?
Look, I think this is just the love affair time with quarterbacks. I talked to, about 25 people. And there's a handful of people in that group who say, three or four, who say, Wilson might be better than him, right? He might be the better player. And that's kind of the typical argument you get between prospects. Sometimes people just have different opinions. But I think the consensus is that Lawrence is clearly the better player, the better pedigree. So I just think there are some people in that group who are just contrarians to be contrarians, because just on the off chance that Wilson becomes the better player, they can say that they were right. But I think, when I see Trevor Lawrence, and I'm not a scout, I haven't seen Zach Wilson play very much. So I saw Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is like, kind of your more mobile version of your typical Buckeyes quarterback or typical quarterback that you get in an Urban Meyer type offense. And I know Urban's not coaching there now, but it's still his offense, right? So I think Trevor Lawrence looks like the second coming of Joe Namath. He just has that look about him. And when you see like old film of Namath playing at Alabama, you just look at it and go, man, they're just spitting images of each other. Absolutely, 100%. So I love Trevor Lawrence. And Zach Wilson, I think, is good, but not in that range overall.
Now, if only we could get one of them to walk around in a fur coat, we are the winners of it all.
Oh, but can you imagine Trevor Lawrence in the fur coat with that hair?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's it'd perfect. It'd be a cross between Namath and Charo.
I was going to give him a little Ric Flair, but sure, Charo
did
too.
Did you go Charo, really?
Charo.
Well, that's what we get. We do the deep pulls here on a Friday night. Jason Cole with us.
It's the Dean Martin celebrity roast. My childhood is coming back. We're going to soon have all sorts of really ridiculous off-color jokes by Don Rickles that when you look at the repeats, you go, man, that's some racist crap. It really is.
And you probably own all the DVDs, and that's what brought it up right there.
Late
night television right there.
The library is full, baby. It is absolutely full as Rickles and Richard Pryor go at it.
All right. Will Seattle Seahawks fans be invoking a lot of angry terminology? Not necessarily that which you described there. But with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks on the outs, will he return to Seattle, or will the Bears actually make a big play?
Well, I mean, I think the Bears are going to make a big play, and they're going to offer up everything I can, but I don't think they have a good enough pick. That's number one. Number two, isn't somebody at some point in time going to walk into Pete Carroll's office and go, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is the best quarterback we've had in 45 years. And the next best is Hasselbeck. And after we get past Hasselbeck, it's Jim Zorn. Right? So, just keep him. Make him happy. Do whatever you have to do. Like, this is stupid. Like, the Deshaun Watson thing, I understand, because Houston doesn't want to get rid of him, but they, they kind of bumbled their way through with this whole Jack Easterby crap. Mm-hmm. But this is – and Easterby's not a football guy, but he's a not a football guy pretending to be a football guy, and that creates a bigger problem. Pete Carroll's actually a football guy. He has gone out and gotten quarterbacks over the course of his career. He knows how hard it is to find these guys. And he's sitting here saying, now it's time to part ways with Russell Wilson? You just went 12-4. If your defense had been halfway decent all season, you might have been playing for a Super Bowl, but your defense, you never got it together. Russell Wilson is not the problem. Russell Wilson is the solution in Seattle. And I just, like, Where's John Schneider to just walk in and go, yo, dude, like, no, just don't do this. Don't do this. I mean, even, you know, Paul Allen's sister, whatever her name is, like, even she should have the sense to walk in and say, I don't really understand what you're attempting to do here, Pete, because, like, it seems like he's good.
You know who else is good that you ignored was Dave Craig. Again, I mean, what? You know, when you talk about best Seahawks quarterback, you completely
The best part about that is that you actually looked that up online, and you went and go, oh, what's the history of Seahawks quarterbacks? Because you actually cared that
much. Come on, we had Dave Craig on the show a couple of years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, now.
Wow,
yeah,
that
now,
pause.
I don't know what to say now. No, we had Dave Craig on the show.
That's awesome. I'm so impressed.
Wait till next week when you come on and we do one of those TV ambush shows where you come on and you're talking and then Dave Craig's going to be on the line listening and he just jumps right in and it's, oh, it's ambush time, and then you guys are going to go out.
I was better than Zorn. I'm number three on that list. Yes. You had small hands, Dave Craig. Chuck Knox used to complain about you all the time. That's legit. He would go in, he would tell John Clayton, Craig's going to fumble the ball because he's got those tiny little hands. God, you know, like that. That's literally true.
I feel like I need to have a golf joke there.
Wow.
But we'll move on. Hey, Pittsburgh came to terms with Ben Roethlisberger. Can he still work, or are they just nostalgic?
No, I think there's – look, I thought that toward the end of the season they started attacking more. I didn't understand their whole offensive philosophy for the first, like, 12 games of the season. Now, it was working. You know, they were, what, 11-0 at one point in time. So there was hard, it was hard to complain about. But when the roof caved in, there were some issues. Now, they got to fix some things on the offensive line. And they just got to decide, you know, James Conner is okay, but he's not great. So they got to get a real running game. But, I think Roethlisberger is good enough to make them a Super Bowl, a team that can compete for a Super Bowl. Are his best days behind him? Sure. But, I mean, I thought he had a pretty good year last year coming back from that injury, right? Sure. I mean, it's like, that's not an easy thing to get back from. And I thought he was pretty good overall. You know, did he look have some yips in the pocket once in a while? Sure, but that protection was awful. So, they've got some tweaking they got to do. And my thing is, don't change out the quarterback when your defense is pretty loaded. You know, like they're really good. So if you're that loaded and you're for bear on defense, don't toy with a quarterback right now, even if he's not quite what he was 3 years ago.
There's a subtle dig at Dave Craig right there at the end. He is Jason Cole. You can follow
him. Well, because Roethlisberger has normal-sized hands. He doesn't have little kitty paws, you know, or whatever it was that Dave Craig had.
He's on Twitter at JasonCole62, editor-in-chief at fansided.com. NFL Pro Football.
I'm going to be blindsided next week by Dave Craig. Like, most of your listeners don't even know who Dave Craig is. That's the genius. Except that you'll replay the interview from 2 years ago or whatever it was.
I think more people know who Dave Craig is than know who you are.
Whoa.
Probably. Yeah. That's true.
There you go.
They should.
Just like in a prize fight.
Somebody was like, LaVar, you started with LaVar, and now you're mocking our interview. Okay, here we come. I'm not letting that go, okay? So I'll remember the LaVar Arrington move, okay? All right, way to go, Smith. It took you the entire interview, but you got your revenge. Wrong stuff.
You're the best, Cole.
See you, buddy. Oh, always fun stuff with Jason Cole. And, of course, his book, Elway, A Relentless Life, available right now at Amazon. Great stuff on his life and career. You can grab it there. That is the real title of the book. It is Elway, A Relentless Life. It's not about Joe Douglas. Although, if Zach Wilson does turn into Joe Montana, they will write books about Joe Douglas.
I have no doubt. I'll have to drop you my copy of the book, though. It's quite good. I think it's for those that follow the NFL during that period or just want a sense of the history of what was going on in the league at that point. There's some killer stories. Mm. And all the stuff from his mom is great.
Yeah, and the Tebow stuff is great, too.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the 98 AFC Championship game against the Jets is in there, too. Yeah, no, he covers all the bases on those. All the stuff I don't want to read about, I'm going to get to read about
again. I'm so excited. Okay.
But just really quick, we talked about Ben Roethlisberger and where things are going now with the Pittsburgh Steelers and how, look, they have a lot of things to do. We talked about last night that, look, Roethlisberger will be the worst quarterback in the division this year, and the Steelers could finish last in the division. They're one of those teams that it's not one of those, well, they go from, 13-3 to 11-5 to 9-7. No, this is one of those. They can go 13-3 and suddenly they're 6-10, and you're like, what just happened? What just happened to this team? So it can happen that fast with them, and it really is all about Roethlisberger. They have decided to go all in that he's still going to be the guy, and the first 6-7 weeks are going to tell us everything, and it's going to be not a great season for him if he starts playing poorly, and then suddenly, hey, guess what? Dwayne Haskins or whoever they get in the draft is going to be in there week 8, week 9. Watch out.
Look at you. You're just called doom and gloom.
Watch out. I call it like I see it, Mike. I said great things about three other teams. Great things about the Bengals. Great things about the Browns. Great things about the Ravens. But I say not good things about the Steelers. And suddenly now, oh, look what you're doing. Hey, the ratio of good to bad was 3-1.
No, that was pretty good, especially when you were talking about the Browns and the Bengals as two of those three. That is pretty impressive. Look, the Bengals need to wear the white tiger helmets at some point. I mean, those are killer.
Oh, that would be nice. Like white vision. Right now,
yeah,
you have white tiger,
well, exactly.
White vision. Okay,
yeah.
All right, very good.
Well, like the tigers that were hanging out with Siegfried and Roy.
Sure, or Baker Mayfield in the photo shoot before last season.
This is true.
All
nicely
those
done. Yeah.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen down. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS. Save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. We got more NFL coming up in a few minutes, but straight ahead, the first domino has fallen in the what's a player that could get added to an NBA team that could make a big difference. Blake Griffin is now available. Should you go out and get him? Where should he end up? We'll tell you coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance. Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS. See how much you could save on auto insurance. Well, the beginning of the big buyouts are here as we get into trade season in the NBA. Look, what players are going to be available? Is Victor Oladipo going to be a guy that goes somewhere? But the buyouts are going to be a big deal, too. Andre Drummond probably is going to get bought out in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a huge addition somewhere. This is an all-star center who's 27 years old. And today kind of kicked things off when Blake Griffin and the Pistons agreed to a contract buyout. The six-time all-star is now free to sign with any team. He was making way too much money for anybody to trade for him, so the Pistons buy him out, and now he is free to go anywhere. He has been linked right away with the Brooklyn Nets, and I get that. Hey, he can go there, potentially win a championship. He could play with DeAndre Jordan, and he provide depth for the Nets. Look, it makes sense. The Warriors are another team that could be there for him. So are the Heat and the Blazers. This, according to ESPN, those are the four teams that are expected to be among the running for Blake Griffin. Now, Mike, I get the Nets. I completely get it from his perspective.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I can go win. But he's a different player than he was even, a year or so ago. I mean, the Blake Griffin hasn't dunked since 2019 thing is just incredible. He's more a point forward now, and he's not going to score 20 points a game. He's not going to be able to play all those minutes. He's someone that, look, this year, has fallen into being like a 13-8-4 guy. And yes, is he valuable? Yes, he'll be good with the Nets. He'll be a guy that provides depth and takes some of the onus off the big three, especially when they all can't play, you know, because Kevin Durant's going through injury issues, and we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you what, man, the Lakers seem like the right fit for him for more than a couple of reasons. First, if he goes, he would play a bigger role because the Lakers need to save wear and tear on LeBron, on Anthony Davis. He would step in with a little bit bigger of a role. He would have a little bit more chance to do his thing and be able to put the ball in the basket. And that's something that I don't think you can ignore if you're Blake Griffin, because you still want a big role. You still want to be a guy that can contribute. You're 31. You know, you're not 38. You don't want to sit back and go, yeah, whatever, I'll play like 8 minutes a game. No, you still want a big role. You're not going to have that in Brooklyn. You'll have it in Los Angeles, and they will go out of their way to make sure they make you part of the team, because clearly in their front court, when there's injury issues they're dealing with, hey, they could use somebody that can play a lot of minutes like that. Plus, he comes back to L.A., where he enjoyed the best parts of his career, you know, with the other team. Hey, I'll show you, Clippers. You watch. All right, you watch from the other side of the arena while we go in, and I help this team win a championship. I think the Lakers are a better fit because he'd be able to accomplish more. He'd be a bigger piece for them than he would be for the Nets.
Yeah, I think the biggest point, as you say, is taking LeBron, and you can get him off the court, and you got a guy with the size and the skill of still moving the ball. Now, trying to compare him to LeBron in that respect, obviously that's a foolhardy expedition, but a guy who's averaging about 4 assists a game doesn't have to be the number one scorer, right? And just being a body to distribute and maybe give LeBron a couple extra minutes in the second half to sit and rest and be cagey and come back out for that final flourish, especially once you get to the playoffs. Absolutely. And look, you're looking to win if you're Blake Griffin, right? You've made a lot of money. You've had a lot of notoriety. You've got a good stand-up career when you're ready to go back to that. He's pretty good, actually, on stage. Good comedic timing. So he's got that second career all set. Now he just needs a title. And coming back and winning is part of the Lakers. Because let's face it, to go and potentially run through the Clippers en route to a title, don't tell me that wouldn't have an extra bit of satisfaction. And that would be the nice way to end your career, I think. This is just say I win, I'm out.
Yeah, well, look, look, when you're talking about for this year, it's hard to make emotion something that keeps somebody going and sustains it, because you have to be able to want to succeed and do well if you're going to have a career. But you're talking about the rest of this year. You're talking about 35 games in the playoffs. Oh, yeah, you can live off emotion and hate, and I want to show you something, and this is gonna burn my fire for the rest of this year. That's all the Lakers would care about. Whatever happens this year, you can do it. You can live emotionally for a short period of time. Now, you're not going to be able to do it for 2, 3, and 4 years, but for right now, that's a big part of it, and to think it's not is being naive about it. Back in L.A., where he still had a great life, where he loved being in L.A., loved being a star, but now I can stick it to the Clippers? Oh, yeah. That's a real valuable part of the conversation.
Absolutely, and the fact that you've been in Detroit since 2017. I mean, you've played no meaningful basketball, really, in a long time. So the idea to get the juices flowing and that Clipper motivation and Ballmer and everybody else, Paul George, to squash them, how satisfying would that be?
Listen, I'm telling you, Blake and I have a lot in common. L.A., Detroit. We both have lived vacation there. I mean, it's kind of how it works.
I don't think he's going to vacation there, though.
No, he'll never go back. No, that's true. He'll never go back. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, hey, we got a big take on the potential big quarterback trade. This is Fox Sports Radio.